I said, it's starting to be the end of the week and it starts catching up with you. But it is good to be here this evening. And I was trying my best to find out what God would have me to share with you this evening. I promise you I won't preach 2 hours this evening. You don't even have to worry about that. I'm just going to simply share with you what's on my heart and what I feel like the Lord led me to. The book of Galatians, if you have your Bible, you can turn there. Again, you can read a lot about the book of Galatians and the purpose and the reason that Paul wrote book of Galatians. And basically, just a general idea of why Paul did that. Paul wrote the book of Galatians here basically to share with the church there of Galatia that it was by faith in Christ alone that they were saved. If you go back through that, you can see that many times throughout the book of Galatians that Paul reiterated and Paul over and over again emphasized that it was by faith alone, that it was the faith that an individual would put in Christ Jesus that would save them. Even Paul was the one that wrote in the scripture that is not of works, lest any man should boast. When we think about this concluding part of the book of Galatians, Paul wrote some words today as I was reading earlier this morning and just trying to see what God would speak to me about. Again, as I've told you in the past, I guess I'm different. I don't know how other pastors study and how they get inspired for messages. As I'm reading, it's almost as if God takes a highlighter and highlights the page and puts his finger on it and says, that's it right here. This is what I want you to do. And that's how it works with me. And that happened to me this morning, that when I was studying in my office and working towards this moment. So it's found in Galatians chapter 6. I want to just read verse 11 forward. And the reason I want to read that is this was Paul's benediction to the church of Galatia. And I want you to hear the words that Paul was writing as Paul actually began to write this. And then we're going to go back and see why he wrote this and see what Paul did here in this concluding of the matter of the book of Galatians. He says this in verse number 11, ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. Well, that's pretty well self-explanatory. Paul said, I took the time. It was so important to me that I took the time to write this letter to you myself so that you would understand from my point of view how I got this letter. This whole letter of Galatians was to the church there of Galatia. And then he says, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. In other words, the Jews was telling the people there at Galatia that it is imperative for you to be circumcised, to have an outward expression or an outward sign of your loyalty to God. And Paul was saying, hey, that is not necessary as you do that, because he says, only lest they should suffer persecution, and he says, for the cross of Christ. Now, again, I may get into some of this and I may not, but it is very understandable when you read the New Testament about Paul, what Paul actually went through and what Paul's sufferings was as he did that. And Paul was basically writing back to them, and he told them, it's not necessary that you suffer. Let me say it like this. It is not necessary that you suffer because of your works. Because without faith, your works is dead anyway. It is nothing more than an outward sign that you're showing somebody that you've done this. And that's pretty much it in a nutshell, what I got out of that when I was reading it. In other words, Jesus come back, and in our understanding of that, again, as Paul was writing, he was just simply telling us that that just all these outward works in and of themselves, they fall flat on their face dead at the foot of the cross. And I'll get into that in just a few minutes. And this is kindly Paul writing as he moves forward. In this verse 13 is where he says, "For neither they themselves, the people, are circumcised, keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in the flesh." Again, this is Paul writing about they don't really have anything here in this top part, but just to keep the law. He says, "But they do this that they might glory in the flesh." Then, you know, we get in verse number 14, and this is really what I felt like the Lord laid on my heart. Paul said in verse 14, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Let me read the latter part of this. "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." Say that with me. "But a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them." What rule? The new creature. "And mercy, and upon the Israel of God." Then 17, "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." Now, verse number 14 is what jumped off the page at me. When you look at this, Paul says this, "But God forbid that I should glory, but God forbid that I should glory," I'm getting to a point, "but God forbid that I should glory." And then he says, "save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." What was Paul saying? Paul was saying all of this conclusively, writing it all together. Paul was saying this: "I bear in my body the marks. I bear in the body my flesh of what I have went through in order to preach the gospel unto you." And then Paul was saying in the latter part of this, and you look at that, where Paul was saying, "But I do not glory in what I've done. I don't put myself on display. I don't showboat in saying, look at me." Are you with me? See, the church today, we ask ourselves this question. And I guess if I had a title for this message, it would be simply this: what do you glory in? Glory in. What do you glory in? In other words, the reason I said that like that is because what do you feel like that you get glory in? Now, that's an odd question on a Wednesday night, ain't it? You see, in all reality, we're not supposed to get no glory. Are you with me tonight? I know it's late, and I know it's already getting dark early. It's going to be worse than this Sunday. We're going to change time. We're going to fall back an hour. And it's going to be dark coming, and it's going to be dark leaving. But here's what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, you can't glory in nothing but the cross. So I asked myself the question as I was there, and I was working on this morning, is what do you glory in? What about the church? I heard somebody say one time, if we get the glory, if we pin the glory on ourselves, that we are actually robbing God of what really belongs to God. Paul had an understanding of this when he began to preach the gospel. Now, Paul, of course, you see this all the way through here. Paul began to write this, and Paul begins to talk about the gospel. When you look at this, Paul uses this word in verse number 14 again, where he uses the word forbid. When you look at that word forbid, Paul was actually using this word as an understanding that where he said that he is not going to rob God, or that he is not going to steal God's glory. Are you with me tonight? When we look at this, he uses this as he goes all the way back in verse number 1. Paul takes off in verse number 1, and we can see that where when Paul came on the scene, you know how Paul came on the scene, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but the commentary that I was reading from actually said that how that these disciples at this time, even some of the disciples discredited Paul because they did not consider Paul one of the apostles because Paul was not there with Peter, James, and John. And I was reading where that Peter and Paul did actually meet. You can read that throughout the book of Galatians, and you can read that. But they still discredited Paul. Here's the thing. When we begin to talk about the glory of God, and when the world today tries to discredit you, when the world today tries to discredit me, when the world today tries to discredit the church, Paul basically was saying this. Paul was saying his writings comes out of a personal encounter. Paul again was saying in our text today of where that we read this, that he is not going to glory in anything but the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know today that people today in our day, in our hour, they don't understand the church. Are y'all with me? They don't understand the church. They don't understand the depth of a life that has changed. They don't understand what happened to Paul. Paul's the perfect example that this happened to. And again, I'm not going to take the time to read all of this, and because it's over in the book of Acts chapter 9. We know it very well. But there's a few things that I wanted to read. It's Acts 9 and 15. It's where Paul actually, the Lord Jesus spoke and said here, when you look at this, he said to Paul, he changed his name from Saul to Paul. Now look at this. He said, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Watch what he done. If we're going to glory in Jesus, this is what you and I must do in our daily lives today. Is when you look at this, it says that he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name. If we're going to glory in Christ, what are we glorying in? Are we glorying in our own name? Are we glorying in what we're doing? No. We've got to glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus alone. We cannot do anything. We cannot add anything to that. That the church today have got to get back to the point that the church, watch this, and this is one of those bold things that I believe that we've got to step out on, and we've got to be very square-footed on, we've got to be very back-braced on, is that Paul stood very strongly on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He stood very strongly upon his encounter with Jesus himself. Now, when I was reading this and going through it and there at my desk today, and I was thinking about all this, I just wonder today, because this is one of the things I thought about, is even though we are living in a world that seems to be very corrupt today, Paul lived in a world that was very corrupt. There were all kinds of things going on there. But Paul made a determination. He was a chosen vessel of God. And Paul said, God forbid that I should glory in anything but the cross. God forbid that Thomasville, God forbid that you, God forbid that I glory in anything except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing I got out of that, where he goes on and he says of how that Paul was a chosen vessel to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, Jew and Gentile. This is the context of the scripture that I read unto you. The next verse in verse 16, and he says, I will show him how great things that he must suffer for my name's sake. Again, Acts emphasizes the fact that Paul said that he's getting ready to go through some things, but the conclusion of Paul's life, Paul was able to tell young Timothy that I've kept the faith, and henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not only me, but all that love his appearing. And Paul was able to do that. There's several things, again, that I picked up on as I began to read about. If we're going to glory, God forbid that we glory in nothing else except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this came out of Paul's personal revelation of who Jesus is. Your encounter with God, your encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, watch this, is going to determine what you glory in. Amen? In other words, if you've never really had that encounter with Jesus, you might get some sort of gratification out of, well, I could just about say anything. Really, anything can become a God with a little g unto you. Anything can become a God with a little g unto me. But what Paul was simply saying, hey, he said, even though I have to suffer, even though I have to go through a few things, even though the church may or may not have to go through a few things in the day and the hour that we're living in, hey, we cannot allow this flesh to dictate to you, to me, what we're going to glory in, because friend, we still got to preach the cross. Somebody told me up here above this pulpit, there's a little cross up here. Now, I know the story why that little cross is up there. Raymond told it to me many times. But I'm so thankful that we still hold up the cross. Are you still with me tonight? That we glory in nothing but the cross. If Jesus be glorified, it's because of the cross. Paul's message, even though we look at this, Paul, again, glory in nothing but Jesus. A man that's never been converted can find his glory in a lot of other things. Now, please don't get mad at the preacher when I use this as an example. This is only an example. I like old cars. I like old stuff. I like old people. Matter of fact, I like all people. So, but some people have antique cars. I know a man or two down around my house that's got them. They'll put them out in the front yard and they'll polish them up, wax them up. They like cars and they like antique cars and things like that. And people get some sort of gratification out of those things like that. And I'm just saying that as an example. And I brought it back to say this. What do you find gratification in? Are you with me tonight? Now, I know that we live in a body. I understand that. I realize that. I understand that fully, and I know this flesh desires things. I understand that. But there's nothing any better to me, and this is me preaching. This is me. There's nothing any better to me than to get into the presence of God Almighty Himself. Amen? And to have God show up and God do something for you that nobody else can do for you. I remember, and I'm meddling a little bit right here, I remember days and services and times that are much like what was here Sunday morning, but yet at a much deeper level, where the glory of God would move in and the glory of God would come in, almost like the Shekinah glory of God would come down in the sanctuary itself. It's those type of encounters, my friend, that we have in our lives that will transition our lives and it will determine what we really glory in. And Paul said, I glory in one thing. I glory in Jesus Christ. I glory in the cross. Paul's own testimony came out of the book of Galatians, chapter number 1. We see this in a couple of different places. We see it in chapter 1, verse number 6. Paul begins to use these type of words. And this is what Paul was saying. Now watch this. And this is very imperative here. Again, he's talking to the Jew and the Gentile. And he's talking to young converts. He's talking to those that still cling to the Jewish tradition at that time, the Judaism. And Paul, again, was coming back and he was writing this. And this is what Paul was saying. He said, I marvel, which means I wonder, I scratch my head, and I look at you and I wonder. And he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Paul was saying, I am absolutely fumbuzzled, if you will. I'm absolutely at a state of wonder how that you can have such an encounter with God and have an experience with God and then be so quickly and so soon removed from Him that called you to the grace of Christ. And I began to think about what Paul was saying there. He said, and then be removed unto another gospel. Now, that got my attention today when I was reading that, because it said to another gospel. Well, we know gospel means good news. I realize that. But he uses this word another, and here this word another means strange. It means strange, and it means foreign, if you will. And I begin to think about our country today. I begin to think about our world today. I begin to think about the United States of America today. How that this country was, like, we cut our teeth, if you will, on the Bible. We cut our teeth on the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what it is. Men have moved away from the gospel. And because of whatever reason under the sun has came up, that men has left the original purpose of the gospel in the churches and in their own lives today and in the United States of America today. And we have so soon been removed unto another gospel, something that's less convicting, something that's more conformable to our ideas and to our concepts and to what we like today. Now, I feel the preacher coming in the house today, because I'm going to tell you something, friend. I refuse to get sucked into that today, because Paul said, why or how are you so soon removed from the gospel that was preached unto you, and then you all of a sudden, even though you knew the truth, all of a sudden you have been removed to another gospel. You know why? Because they found their peace in another gospel. They found their flesh being gratified in another gospel. Don't get mad at the preacher. I think one of the reasons that we're having so much trouble in the church or churches today is because we have watered down the gospel, and we have actually wanted to glory in another gospel and actually take the gospel that's been given unto us and basically dismantle it and no longer adhere to it, so that something that is preached unto us today will be much less than what Paul even wrote in the beginning. But I'm just saying, what are we glorying in? Are we still glorying in the gospel? If we're glorying in the gospel is the good news. We realize that. Paul, again, he wrote this to them, and Paul's message of the gospel came out of his personal experience. And Paul changes this up right here, and he says this in verse 7. He said, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. We cannot preach anything else but the gospel of Christ. Are y'all with me? We cannot do anything in preaching except preach the gospel. Now, I wasn't going to take the time to do this, but I thought about it over and over again as I was studying this today, and I don't really want to turn there right now, but go back and read Romans 1:16, and this is the opening part of what it says. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I read that to myself, and I thought about it. I never did turn there and read it today, because I knew I'd get stuck there if I turned over there and started reading it. But Paul was anchored in one thing. God forbid that I should glory in anything save the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what we do as a church, futuristically, whatever we do down the road, we've got to make one thing for sure, that we keep Jesus Christ the center. Are you with me tonight? The center of everything we do. Or we might as well just take and write Ichabod above the door, which means the glory has departed. When you take anything away from the gospel message of Jesus Christ, you're taking away from the authenticity of the gospel and the authenticity of the virgin birth of Jesus, and then you're adding your part into the gospel. Can I tell you, again, I thought about this today. It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, life, death, burial, resurrection, soon coming, plus nothing else. Nothing else. If we're going to glory as a church, if we're going to glory, let's glory in the cross. Let's continue to preach. Oh, somebody said, well, preacher, you don't know what kind of persecution might come down the pipe if we continue to stand up for the gospel, if we continue to preach the gospel. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Listen to me well. If things don't change, persecution will come. We know that, biblically speaking. But here's the thing, and I told myself this again over and over. There's got to be a line drawn in the sand Brother Robert calls me every now and then and encourages me to keep on keeping on, and he pushes me along a little bit when he talks to me. I'm pushing you along this evening as I'm talking to you. There's got to be a line drawn in the sand, and we must not cross that line. We must hold to the original gospel that was delivered unto us, just like what Jude said. It is not Jesus plus anything else. You say, well, aren't you afraid you're going to get persecuted? You're already getting persecuted to a degree. Look around this room, empty, empty, empty. People are not here tonight because they're out doing something else and they're not here. And I know there's legitimate reasons. That's not what I'm saying. There's legitimate reasons for that. I understand that. But there's 26,500 people or more in the city limits of Thomasville, North Carolina. We okay? And here's the thing that Paul was writing to those Jewish believers at that time that had already been saved, that had already been redeemed. He said, don't go back to the former things that God's called you out of and God's delivered you from. And this is again what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, when you look at this, he said, there are those that's already perverted the gospel. And again, you can look and you can see all the way throughout all of Paul's writings, all of them, every book that Paul wrote in the New Testament, 2/3 of the New Testament was written by Paul. Paul's major theme was Jesus Christ and the gospel. Challenge me on that. It's there. Paul never talked about hardly anything else except his missionary journeys. And as he was on the missionary journeys, what was he doing? What was he doing? Talk to me. What was he doing? He was taking the gospel to these various places that had not yet even heard about Jesus. And you think, well, preacher, this is a Wednesday night, and this sounds a little bit over the top for a Wednesday night. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. This is how I thought about it when I done this. And I don't know any other way to say it but to say it. Two things, a question and then a statement. The question is, have you lost your burden for lost souls? I guess I could say it like this. Have you lost your burden for preaching, teaching, spreading the gospel? Have we went so far that, well, I'll do it like this. It's the preacher's responsibility. It's not just the preacher's responsibility. Well, that's Scott Leonard's responsibility. He's the Sunday school teacher. He's not here, so I can pick on him. He might be listening. Hey, it's not just Scott Leonard's responsibility. Well, it's Alan Dean's responsibility. He's the clerk. He's the one that can do it. No, it's all of us together. And we've got to come together with one mind and one accord and understand this. That our mission and our mandate, not only as a church, but as an individual, is I'm a vessel to carry the good news, to carry the gospel. Now, how you do that, now that's a different story. Where you're at, on your job, at the gym, or at the grocery store, or wherever you may be, wherever you might find yourself. But Paul said this is the most important thing. Look in, let me make sure I'm at the right place. Verse number 8 of this text. Look in verse number 8 right here. And he says, but though we, watch this, though we are an angel from heaven, watch this. Even I, Paul said, even me. Well, I've got a divine inspiration from heaven and an angel spoke to me. If it leads away from Jesus, you better mark that person up as a false prophet. You better shut your ears to that person. Because Paul said, watch this. He said, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel. Good news. He said unto you, than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Well, when you look that word accursed up, you know what it means? Given over to destruction. Paul's mind and his heart was so locked in on the gospel that Paul wrote to this church of Galatia, even if another person comes, even if I come, or an angel sent from heaven supposedly comes and begins to talk to you about anything other than the resurrected Lord, let him be accursed. Now, friend, I don't know how that hits you, but that hits me to the simple fact that the church better do one thing. We better be focused in the day that we're living in, and we better have our feet anchored, and we better have our boots nailed to the floor as it pertains to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a non-compromising gospel. You say, well, you're getting pretty tough on us on a Wednesday night. Well, I don't know where this message goes. I have no clue. Do you know, some of you are a little older than me. Some of you are a little bit older than me. Some of you are a whole lot older than me. But that's besides the point. Let me ask you a question. Brother West, I've not known him that long, but I think he can answer this question. Have you seen the shift in America recently? Where that there's just not a lot of people paying attention to the Bible or about Jesus, and people just don't adhere too much about the Bible anymore. They'll believe a lot of other stuff. Bobby, I know you could answer that. Do you don't think that people are being moved away from the gospel today? Brother Robert, me and you've talked about it. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. Now, this is me. Since I get to preach this message, it's me. I just felt, and I don't get cold chills much, and I don't get goosebumps much, and I don't get quivery a whole lot. But when I said that, just then it's like a cold chill went down my back. And it's not just from hot and cold air in this building sweaty. It's because so many are moving away from the value of that book and the gospel. It may be no more than this right here that would attend a church or this church. But we still got to hold on to that gospel. We still got to hold on to the Bible. Yes. If we're the only ones that's doing it. And we're not. We're not. That's the type of determination that Paul had. And Paul was able to say that. He said, if there's any other, look at this next verse, verse number nine. Paul says this. He said, as we said before, so say I again. If a man preach any other gospel unto you than that we have received, let him be accursed. Move on, ten. Then he says, for do I persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men or yet please? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. What does that mean? The last days, men will be lovers of themselves, having tickling ears. And they want to hear something that makes them feel ooey and gooey on the inside. And what Paul was simply saying, hey, this is not the gospel that I present unto you. The gospel that I present unto you is sharper than a two-edged sword. It'll even cut you to the very marrow of your heart. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Now, let me just meddle here for another minute. I try to be really sensitive to you. Are you with me? I try to be sensitive to your emotion. I try to be sensitive to your feelings. I try not to point my finger at people. I try not to just get down in people's face and get down and get mean and just get, you know, I try not to do that. Used to, I'd preach like that, and I don't know if I'd done anything but made people mad at me. I have no idea. Had that one little girl that time say, what's that preacher so mad about? Why was he mad? I mean, I was preaching. I mean, I was going. I wasn't mad. I was just intense, and I was just enjoying what I was doing, you know, preaching or whatever. The reason I said all that is I try not to be too theatrical in presentation. And I know I am because it's just who I am. But this is a serious issue in the church today. And Paul said, you cannot preach this gospel to please men. So if I ever upset you, I don't mean to, you know what I mean? I don't mean to do that. Somebody said, well, it ain't you that does it anyway. And it's the Word of God being preached. The Word of God cuts, and it should. I've had people tell me, hey, step on my toes if you have to, preacher. I know me coming up, the more a preacher stepped on my toes, the better, the more, that's two words together, the better. The more I knew, I better get myself in check. I better straighten my act up. If I heard somebody preach the gospel straight at me, I didn't get mad. I didn't get rebellious. I didn't get upset. I didn't run away and pout and preacher got mean to me and preacher hurt my feelings today. No, I didn't do that. I got an altar and I prayed through. When I was a younger man, I wore the altars out. I'd stay hours in altars myself, by myself. Nobody near me or around me. Had a friend of mine, he's been here at the church before, Lee Collier. I'd go in the sanctuary on Friday, and I wouldn't come out till 4 o'clock of the evening. I'd go in there 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. What are y'all looking at up there? Something behind me? A bug? Spider? I'll look at it in a minute. But I'd go in the sanctuary for hours, and I'd lay on my face, and I'd cry out to God for hours. Lee would tell me, I come by the church today and you were praying and I didn't come in because you were laying on your face. You were having your time with God and I didn't want to disturb you. And I'm going, God, we'll take those moments. If we're going to be the church today that says, God forbid that I should glory in nothing but the cross. The cross. Over there. I've got page one done. I wasn't going to preach long. Look at this real fast. When you look in Galatians, again, moving forward, Galatians chapter 1, verses, I done read that to you, 7 and 8. Paul says, again, when you look at this, he says, if any other winds and doctrines of devil, if an angel, I thought about an angel of light, who is that? Satan himself will transform himself into an angel of light. What is the responsibility of you and I today? The Bible lets us know that we're to test the Spirit, to try the Spirit, to see if they're of God. Paul, again, he writes these words. Again, I'm not going to take the time to go through all of this, but I've went through pages of stuff. They didn't even believe Paul. Chapter number 1:15, they separated him from his mother's womb. Down in verse 23, it said that this man, Paul, they didn't even believe him because he was the one that destroyed the faith. Verse 24 there, he says, and they glorified God in me. Paul's life was changed. Let me jump to this really, really fast. When you look in Galatians chapter 2, and this is actually the second thing that I picked up on today, is simply this. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 16, this is what Paul was saying. Paul starts off and he says, knowing that a man is not justified by works. Again, he was writing this to that church of Galatia. He said, by works of the law. To reiterate, Paul was saying, but by the faith of Jesus. God forbid that I should glory in anything save the cross. And then he says, in this, not by works of law, but by faith in Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. What is he saying that in a nutshell? Again, he's talking to the Jews. He said, it's not by the works of your flesh. We can keep every rule and every law and every regulation. Here's something I thought about years ago. You cannot even legislate holiness. Holiness comes out of your heart. Holiness comes out of a desire to please God and a desire to serve God. And what Paul was saying in this, he said, as Paul was writing this, and he says that very, very simply in the Scripture. He says, you cannot be justified by the flesh. So again, what was Paul doing? He's pointing back to the cross. He was pointing back to what? The gospel. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. He says, if is therefore Christ the minister of sin, God forbid. For if we build again on the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. In other words, I go back into sin. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Look in verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That the life which I now live in the flesh, watch this, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by the faith. I put my faith, I put my trust, I put my confidence in Jesus Christ Himself. Paul, again, he was expounding upon his deliverance in Christ and warning against the church of Galatia that there were those endeavoring to bring Christ, again, under the law of Moses. We think about this in the law, and I'm not going to take the time to read all of that there, but we think about this in 1 Corinthians 15. You know the scripture probably better than I do, but Paul was actually expounding upon that. Simply saying about the gospel, we adhere to the gospel, our faith is in Christ, be not moved away, as some of you have already been moved away, and be founded upon Christ alone. Now, you think, well, preacher, we know that. We all understand that. We've known that for a long time. But do you know there's people in your life, my life, people around me? Brother Russell, they still don't get the message of the gospel. They still don't understand the gospel message. Or if they do understand it, they neglect. But the church must continue to find herself glorying in nothing but the cross. Now, I don't know how this is hitting everybody tonight. I know how it hits me. Because me as a pastor, we can get involved in all kinds of things at church. We can get involved in all kinds of activities at church. Our youth can be involved in all kinds of things at church. But it all has to point back to the gospel. Don't be moved away from the gospel. Don't glory in your activities. Don't glory in what we do. Don't glory in this or glory in that. If you're going to glory, glory in Jesus. Talk about Jesus. Talk about what Jesus has done. And Paul focused this whole thing to the simple fact that he was going to glory in one thing. Paul didn't even want to talk about his marks in his body. I know me when I was younger. You guys never knew that side of me because I grew up a lot before I come here. If somebody done me wrong, another person, another preacher, another church member, oh, I'd get in the mully grubs. I'd get in the woes and the poor me's. I could not wait to find somebody that I could just unload on. And I could just tell them how so-and-so had done something so bad and so horrible to me. The Bible says that's sowing discord among the brethren. See, I changed my outlook. Hey, I try to be good to Dixie, and Dixie's good to me, using you as an example. Be good to each other. If we have a misunderstanding, let's work it out. Let's work it out. Don't try to go and tell somebody else how bad a day somebody's caused you to have. God don't get no glory out of that. God gets glory out of us as a church bringing glory to Jesus Christ. Now, let me conclude in this little grouping of scripture right here. No other way but Jesus. If Christ be risen from the dead, our gospel is... If Christ be not risen from the dead, our gospel is in vain. In other words, he says it's useless. When you begin to look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, Paul writes a very lot of scripture about this in 1 Corinthians 15. I'm not going to take the time to read all of it. But Paul opens this up. Now, when the book of Galatians was written, unless I misread it, Paul probably wrote to the Galatians from Corinth. So Paul was not only writing to the Corinthians, but he was writing to the Galatians as well. And he says these words. He said, "Moreover, brethren," watch this, in verse 1 of chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I, Paul, declared unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand." Now, I'm not going to take the time to break all that down. There's lots of stuff I could break down. But Paul basically was saying this, and this is where I wanted to bring this to a conclusion. Paul said, "I made up my mind about this one thing, that if we're going to glory, I'm going to glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "And I declared unto you the gospel." I declared. It was the mission. It was the message. It was the very purpose of what I did, and it's the very purpose of the church. And again, we look at this, and he said, verse 2 following, he said, "By which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain or without faith. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture, and that he was seen of Cephas," Peter, "and then," he said, "then of the 12. They become the eyewitnesses. And then verse number 6 says, "After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once." This is not Pentecost. This was not on the way to the upper room. This is after the resurrection. Jesus was seen for 40 days prior to the ascension. He was seen, the Bible says, above 500 brethren at one time, after the resurrection, by whom the greater part remain this day or this present, but some have already fallen asleep. Some had already died. But there was a great number of that 500 that was the given testimony of the fact that they had seen Jesus after the crucifixion and after he had died and went into the tomb. And then he says, after that, he was seen of James and of all the apostles." Now, this is where I'm going to end. Verse number 8. Paul said, "God forbid that I should glory in anything." He says this in our text in verse number 14. Just leave that one up there. "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross." Where did that come from? Come from Paul's encounter. And I'm not at a loss of words. I'm getting ready to say something. Because if anybody finds themselves comfortable glorying, getting glory for themselves in any other way, they've missed this. They've missed this. Because Paul said about the testimony of the resurrection, he was seen of Cephas, he was seen of 12, he was seen of James, he was seen of the 500. And Paul said, "This is the reason I can't glory in anything except for Jesus Christ, because he was seen of me, one who was born out of due time." Can I tell you and me this evening, us, once we've seen Jesus, once we've had a life change, and a life encounter, nothing else will do. Nothing. You can give me money, but it still don't do me like Jesus did. I thank God for every dime and every penny, and I thank God for every blessing and every benefit of this life. I look at it as tools. Just tools. That's all I look at, is tools. To get me from where I'm at to where I need to be, or for what God's doing. Even this vehicle that we bought, that ain't nothing but a tool. I got toolboxes at home. Different jobs do different tools. That's just one of the tools. This building is a tool. Whatever facility, whatever we do, it's a tool. We get it paid off next spring. Hey, guess what? Thank God. Thank God for it. But it is not time for us to get egotistical. That's a big word for a country boy. And say, look what we've done. Oh, look what, oh, I thank God that it's done. But what are we going to do with it? Are we going to glory in it? Are we going to puff our chest out and say, oh, look what we've done. Look what we've got. Wrong motive. Or we're going to say, now let's get together and see what God's going to do with it. I don't glory in nothing else. If we can use it for God, let's use it for God. Can I tell you something? Then I'll be done. When you die, when the rapture takes place, if you still believe in the rapture, we're not going to take it with us when we go. So let's use what we have for God's glory. Every ounce of energy, you say, well, preacher, I'm wore out now. Well, keep on keeping on. Do what you can while you can with what you got until He comes. I want you to stand with me. I hope you got a nugget or two out of that. That's just what God put on my heart. All right, Gary, I've heard the name, but I've not met him. Let's pray for this service. Hey, let's do something. And I know this might have came as a different type of message. All my messages are different. I understand that. But let's just all make up our mind. We're just going to be God's vessels. And we're going to give God the glory for it all. For it all. And pray for Gary and pray for Mary in this situation. I don't care. How old is your mom? 92. That's still her baby. You with me? He's 71, but he's still her baby. I don't know if he's youngest or not. You never get out from under the burden of your children. That's the truth. We all have them. We have situations with children. Let's pray tonight. Father, we love you tonight, and I praise you, and I thank you, Father. I know tonight, God, that you're on the throne. And I know, God, that you're able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we would ever ask or think. Father, I know tonight, God, that you're more than able to touch this church and help us, God, to always keep the main thing the main thing. Focus on Jesus. Focus on what we can do for Him and for His glory. Not for what we boast in, not for what Paul bragged in or boasted in. It's any boasting, let us boast in the cross. So, Father, that's our heart and our desire tonight. Father, I pray, God, for Mary this evening. I pray, Father God, that you touch this family. I pray, God, that you touch all that's involved. I pray for Gary. I pray, God, that you find him. I pray, God, that you show somebody where he's at. I pray, God, that you minister to this family, God. Meet the needs in this family, Father. Lord, these that have children that's wayward, these that have children that are struggling, these that have needs in their family this evening, Father, we do pray, oh God, that you would minister to them. We pray, God, that you would minister to the needs of this congregation. Help us, God, to be found faithful. Help us, God, to be found faithful as we endeavor to do your work and your will. Lord, we love you. We honor and praise you, Father. We thank you, God, that you, Lord, are the one that touches us and the one that helps us. Now meet the needs of every person in this room, oh God. And Lord, help us as we do what we do to talk about Jesus, and Lord, there be those that think we're a little bit fanatics and those that think we are just a little overboard with it. But Lord, I'd rather be overboard than underboard. I'd rather be overboard with it than not even care. So God, help us to care and to love you and to honor you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I can't tell you who's online, but as you look around this room this evening, pray for each other. Pray one for another that God would help us during these troubled days. God bless you. We love you. Have a good week. We'll talk to you later.